And welcome back to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today we have Rotary. Let's start with you. Russ, give us an introduction. Who are you? And then we'll move around the table.
I'm Russ DeFioria. I've been a member of Rotary since 1985, and I'm a member of the Upper Darby Rotary Club, Upper Darby Lansdowne Rotary Club.
Okay.
And I'm Matthew Bridenstine. I've been a Rotarian for 5 years, and I'm a member of the Conshohocken Plymouth White Marsh Rotary Club.
And my name is Lisa Leonard, and I'm with the Philadelphia Center City Rotary Club.
And let's now say, what do you do for a living when you're not a Rotarian? What are your professions?
I own a heating and air conditioning business in Drexel Hill, O'Brien Heating and Air Conditioning.
Matt?
And I do disaster response and relief with the American Red Cross.
And I do voiceovers for a living.
You have a lovely voice.
Well, thank you.
So Rotarians come everywhere and in all shapes and sizes and professions coming into this. So I don't know who would like to begin this. And with a real quick, what's the elevator speech? What is Rotary?
Well, I think we might all give our own version of that. I say we're professional, good people who do good things to help other people in the world and locally.
Yeah, we're a civic organization and we're worldwide. And our motto is service above self. We want to help as many people as we possibly can in many different avenues.
People of action looking to make a difference in their local community and the world community.
And you were a past president, were you not, Russ?
I was past president of the club and a past, what they call a district governor. They group the clubs into districts around the world.
And they are found all around the world.
Yes, they are. There's about 35,000 clubs in over 200 countries. We're actually in more countries than the UN.
That's something to be about. And I know, Lisa, you got more involved in Rotary as far as its organization by serving in South Korea. You were involved with the South Korea chapter.
It was actually an exchange program, a cultural and vocational exchange program that Rotary used to offer to young professionals. So I was part of this team of people with the goal being to see how Rotary works in other parts of the world. My opportunity just happened to be 30 days in South Korea. I got to see all of the community projects that were going on there. I also got to see how radio stations and TV stations work over there. And my colleagues who were in the medical field, we visited hospitals. We got to see schools to help the teacher understand how their jobs are done. So that was the moment for me that I realized Rotary is just doing good stuff. And I knew that I wanted to be a part of it. So now here it is 10 years later. And I'm hoping to tell more people about how wonderful it is. Because I think we suffer from a bit of an identity crisis, frankly. I think a lot of people don't know what the heck Rotary does.
I think that a lot of service organizations that are civic organizations like this have the same kind of problem now and finding out what it is. And we got those three definitions and they all kind of matched up. But if someone were to just meet you and say, well, I'm kind of interested in Rotary, how does it work? What do you say?
I would say try coming to a meeting. Anywhere you are, anywhere your listeners are, there's a Rotary Club near you.
But how does it function? What's its organization? Tell me, what is the structure of Rotary and who joins them?
Well, okay, so Rotary is a worldwide organization, as we said, made up of 35,000 plus clubs around the world. So basically, you become a Rotarian typically by joining a club. Those clubs meet for breakfast, they meet for lunch, they meet for dinner. We've got cocktails clubs. We've got clubs that meet now, they call Passport Club, that basically just gather for service and meet less frequently. We have e-clubs, where the members basically just meet online on a regular basis, and they may have a get-together once in a while, but you have members that are from all over the country or the world in that club.
And what do you do at your meetings?
The meeting, typically it's going to be a matter of an update of projects that are already in process or have been accomplished, talking about new projects. But I think, you know, we get fixated, and I'll be interested to hear what Lisa and Matt have to say on this, but sometimes we get fixated on the service aspect of Rotary, when in fact, as important to me is the fellowship or the friendship. At this point in my life, most it seems of my friends are fellow Rotarians. And I think that's, for your listeners, that's the important thing. If they want to belong to a part of group, you know, there's many applications now that you can find a service opportunity. But this provides an ongoing chance to be part of a team, to make friends with like-minded individuals.
You know, that's true, especially since now a lot of organizations are asking for volunteers and need immediate help. But it is kind of anonymous. And I'm guessing from what Russ just said, you guys work together on projects.
Yeah, we work not just within the members of each club, but we partner with other clubs within our district, and we partner with other clubs around the world. I don't know if you can find many other organizations that have that type of model where you can work with another Rotarian or another member of your organization to do some good. You know, the great thing about being a Rotarian is that I can affect change locally and I could stay local and still affect change globally in a long-term impact, not just these one short-off projects, a long-term impact, which, again, I don't think you will find with many other civic organizations.
Might help to explain a little bit about some sample projects that we have been involved with. My club has literacy as a real priority. So we do a lot of work with the City of Philadelphia School District, donating dictionaries and going there to help, you know, clean up and organize the libraries, that sort of thing. Globally, clean water, you know, it's such a crisis in so many parts of the world. And Rotary really gets their hands dirty with that and makes a difference and helps these people get water they need to survive. Maternal and child health, you know, we are involved in a lot of health care initiatives. Polio eradication, although your younger listeners, that may be a bit of a foreign term to them. Russ, you probably could say more on it, but long story short, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation loves the work that Rotary is doing. Rotary is the organization that's sending volunteer members just like us to go overseas to drop little, you know, immunization drops into these children's mouths, and we're saving lives, you know, and that's a pretty powerful, when I think about, I'm a part of that organization.
Well, let's talk about then Rotary International first and get that off the table then. So they do have initiatives of their own that all of the clubs support?
The corporate project for Rotary for over the last 30 years has been the eradication of polio worldwide. As Lisa said, it hasn't been a factor in this country in 50-some years. But around the world, there are still countries where that are endemic. When we began in the 80s, there was about 350,000 new cases per year. Now we're down to less than 20 per year, coming down to the last couple of endemic countries, which are Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Nigeria. Nigeria hasn't had a case of polio in the last 2 years. One more year, and they'll be certified polio-free.
Absolutely amazing. And, you know, we ought to back this up. Where did the name come from, and what was the history of the Rotary Club?
Good question. so many people ask that question.
Rotary was founded in Chicago by five people. The main founder was a man named Paul Harris, who was a Vermont country boy that was found himself as an attorney in Chicago in 1905, looking for friends. Made friends with other gentlemen of like interest, and they started basically rotating where they met to each of their offices, and thus became Rotary International.
And it grew quite rapidly.
It grew very rapidly. You know, first, obviously, locally, then they would, you know, go to Toronto and Winnipeg and whatnot, places that Paul traveled. But now rapid expansion everywhere.
And it continued through world wars. It keeps expanding more and more internationally. And you have international partnerships, too, I see.
Well, that's, you know, what Lisa and Matt touched on. You know, with the projects that we're able to accomplish globally, everything is done what we call through global grants. And they require partners. So the beauty is a club like the Philadelphia Club or the Conshohocken Plymouth White Marsh Club would work with a club in that specific country. And then that together would be funded by our foundation, which is the thing I'm most proud of, that gives us our clout internationally. You know, as volunteers, we're the foot soldiers, but they can bring money to the deal that we just can't do individually.
And Charity Navigator gives us a really high rating, right? 5 stars.
Absolutely, 100% rating, one of the few that got a perfect rating from them. We're very proud of that.
And that's one way that we feel we differentiate ourselves, Rotary, from Meetup and your corporations, you know, once a year volunteer day. You know, it's like we are a well-oiled machine at Rotary, and we just feel that we can leverage people's time and money to really, like, help it make a difference in the world.
On a local level, how much time do you ask of your members, actually? What kind of commitment does somebody have to make?
Well, you know, it's all up to the member. You know, if you're like me and you want to put in 20 hours a week, you can. But, you know, we have members, you know, give an example of my club, who just like to go to meetings. And to touch upon what Russ said about the social aspect, they go there more for the social aspect. And as a result, they get to serve others. Whereas other people, they'll come to the club, they want to serve others as their main value, but they get the social aspect as well. It's really what you put into it is in terms of time-wise.
That's one of the great things about Rotary, but it can be one of the more challenging things as you're looking to build membership, because it really is what you want. If you're passionate about drug addiction, if you're passionate about limiting human trafficking, pick the topic that's important. It isn't one thing to one person, and certainly the time requirements, you know, you're looking at the initiated here that do put a lot of time in, but there are people that don't have that time to give that can still be an important part of Rotary.
And I'd love to mention how times are changing and Rotary is changing with the times. Back in the day, we used to have some pretty strict attendance requirements, I'll be honest. You know, we had to attend every meeting every week, and if you didn't, then, you know. Now, our headquarters organization is acknowledging that and wanting Rotary to be more accessible and more letting more members kind of work Rotary within their busy lifestyles, because life is busy nowadays. So with that, I'll give my club as an example in Center City. We are having two formal meetings a month. We used to meet every single week. And now, sort of with that loosening of attendance, I think we're hoping that people will realize that they can have a full-time job and be on in the PTA and also be a part of Rotary if they want to. And with that membership, I guarantee you will come some great friendships, some real warm fuzzies from just feeling good like you are making a difference. And then also, there's a whole business networking approach we haven't mentioned yet. And that goes back to, again, back in the day, Rotary wouldn't really encourage its members to talk about themselves because it was supposed to be all about the service. But again, don't we all get business from our involvement in Rotary? I mean, I needed a new air conditioning system, so I called my friend Russ, who owns O'Brien. You know, because I knew I could trust him. With Rotary, there's a sense of integrity. We believe, you know, we can do business with each other because we can trust each other and know we're not going to get taken advantage of.
And for so many years, Rotarians wouldn't talk about their business. That was a no-no. But we wouldn't talk about our good work either. So we'd be doing these great projects, but we can't tell anybody.
Hence our identity crisis and why we're grateful for this opportunity.
Well,
Laura,
my father-in-law was a member of a civic organization. And for him, it was once a week he attended meetings in his suit and tie, and he went there with other businessmen, and they met, and they had service projects that they did, and he enjoyed it immensely. But you know what? I'm thinking about what you said, Russ, the social aspect of it. If you're in the heating and air conditioning business, I bet you meet a lot of heating and air conditioning guys.
Yeah.
And this gives you the opportunity to meet a banker, to meet a teacher, to meet somebody and spend actual time with somebody who sells insurance.
You know,
things that, you know, we can't even conceive of. And
you're touching on a really important point. And just to be, you know, when you look at people over the years, frankly, we have people who join Rotary or other groups saying, oh, I'm going to get business. That never really works out well. But when people join for the reasons because they want to give back to the community, because they're looking to make friends, they get tons of business. So it's just a matter of your intent. It's a chicken or an egg, right?
But again, as I mentioned, I think our mothership, if you will, the headquarters organization, I love how they are really responding to the needs of everyday people in 2018. Because it's true. Networking, if we only have limited free time in the day, it's okay to go to a Rotary meeting and give out a business card. In fact, it just makes sense. So we want people to know that that's one of the myths we are trying to dispel.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, though, you each bring something specific to the table then as a result. And so if you are doing a project, you want to know, oh, she does public relations. Go, blah, 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 go over to this person. Oh, this person actually understands how an air conditioning works if we are rehabbing a kid's clubhouse or something like that. Now, let's take care of some business here. You're listening to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, we have Rotary. And the easiest way to say to get more information, go to rotary.org. And there you'll be able to find, by just putting in your location, you'll be able to find Rotary that is near you. And we are talking to Russ DeFuria today. We're talking to Matt Breitenstein and to Lisa Leonard, and they each represent a different club. But again, rotary.org, where to go. So I'm hearing this, and I think I would like to join a civic organization. I contact you. Are there any little balls that go into a hat? Do you have to prove education or anything? Who can become a member of Rotary?
No, there's nothing like that. It's really, if you want to serve people, we want you. You know, if you want to be part of an organization where we work on various different projects and you feel like you can put some value into that and also receive some value, we want you. There's no requirement based upon income or education. No, we're not like that at all.
And also, back in the old days, it used to be where you could only have one accountant and one plumber in that particular Rotary Club. Right, Russ? And they've loosened those rules as well. So we really are inviting and welcoming. And back to your earlier question, Laura, we invite people to go to rotary.org or our district website and find the local Rotary Club that's in your community and attend a meeting. We have breakfast meetings, lunch meetings, some dinner meetings, and Matt, you are involved in this very happen and happy hour, which is great. Again, more of the millennials, I think, being attracted to doing that kind of a club after hours, after the work day is done. So there's really like something for everyone, no matter what your lifestyle, no matter how busy you are, you know, whether you're a morning person or evening person, if you can't get away for 2 hours during the middle of the day, you know, go to Matt's happy hour. There's all kinds of ways to try a club, check it out. If it doesn't feel like the right fit, go to the neighboring club and you'll probably find something that really feels good to you.
Yeah, so we have a morning meeting and an evening meeting, and we meet at 7:30 a.m. at a local library, and we had people who were interested in our club that just couldn't make that early of a meeting, so we decided to do a happy hour on a Monday evening at 7 p.m., and that's drawn a younger demographic, but it also has drawn some older people as well. I mean, our youngest member of our club is 21 years of age. Our oldest member is 94.
That's awesome.
Is that one of the myths, though, yeah, trying to get younger people involved in civic organizations? You don't hear about them as much as you used to. What are some of the problems you're facing or some of the myths you're trying to dispel?
Yeah, well, that's a good one. You talk about the age. We used to be thought of as just your grandparents' organization, and a millennial who's 20-something is not likely to be naturally drawn to that if they really don't know what goes on at those meetings. So we're trying to make it clear what we do and all the fun that can be had and all the opportunities that can be presented. The other thing is about gender, how some people think it's just for old men. And where did that come from? Mm-hmm. Okay, back in the day when Russ described the origin at that first round table, it was men. But we have changed with the times, and thankfully women are such a welcome part of Rotary now. 27%, I think, of our membership is female, but aren't our numbers growing rapidly? And I'm very happy to say that I've held some leadership positions within the organization, and I think women are really climbing up and quickly getting involved and doing awesome things within Rotary.
Are you on college campuses?
We are. We have Rotaract clubs that are like the younger version of Rotary clubs. And that's, I'm so inspired every time I hear a Rotaractor talk about what they're working on. They have such passion and energy. And I think that that younger generation, for them to get those feelings of like they can really make a difference, I mean, you just know they're going to be good citizens moving forward for the rest of their lives.
The Rotaract clubs we have are college-based in some cases, and they can be community-based. And they're typically for young people in their 18 to 30 range. We're also in high schools with what's called Interact. So there's a kind of a grooming process for people who are inclined towards service all the way through. Now, for Matt's club here, I'm proud to say my own daughter, as I mentioned, is a member of the same club as Matt. But like he said, a 7 o'clock club, it's, you know, cocktails and hors d'oeuvres. It's not a meal commitment. It's certainly not a morning commitment, or she'd never be there. So I think it's a matter of Rotary clubs fit different people's lifestyle.
But then once you get in and once you become a member of a Rotary club, how are projects decided? Does somebody get up one day and say, I just discovered this need, I think we can do something about it? Or do they inherit a project and you work at that until it's done, or it's a heritage sort of or a legacy project that you
it
work on?
It could be all of the above.
Yeah, and one of the most beautiful things about Rotary is that you can come into a Rotary club and you can have a passion for something and you can get support for that. And then you can also find a passion for something that you didn't know you actually were going to have a passion, and you can jump on that project as well. There's so many opportunities within the district and within our Rotary National to get funding to support something that you have a cause for. And that's why I really believe that Rotary is the best civic organization out there.
The power of one person. You know, there's a group called Operation Warm that started right within our own area. A gentleman was driving to work, saw kids standing on the street corner without proper coat during the winter, started this. Now, I believe it's worldwide,
yes.
Operation Warm,
mm-hmm.
providing winter coats to kids that the families can't afford them. So it just takes one person with an idea. On the other hand, you could join a club that has a great ongoing project that you want to get on board with.
Now, what are the six areas of focus for Rotary?
Yeah, well, one of them, we've got clean water, as I mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. maternal and child health. We've got education. Russ?
Yes. So believe it or not, this is my area, but I still can't always remember them. So we're looking at fighting disease, the end polio, providing clean water and sanitation, saving mothers and children, supporting education, growing local economies, and ultimately promoting peace. So it's mm-hmm. peace and conflict resolution. And if you think about it, all of the other five areas are designed to build toward peace, which is the end goal.
And, of course, all of these do apply locally as well. So every single one one of those plays into the projects that you're selecting.
And I'd love to focus on peace for a moment here. Rotary provides these peace fellowships, and I'd like to let everybody know that this global training, which basically provides some funding for some qualified individuals from Philadelphia area, from the Delaware Valley, to go, you know, to this training. In our case specifically, we've got in the Philadelphia Police Force and in the District Attorney's Office graduates of this peace program that Rotary sent them on, and they are now implementing these really great strategies to make the Philadelphia streets safer, to try different ways of handling conflicts and riots. And that's, for me, the power of Rotary, bringing it right home mm-hmm. to my city that I love so much, where we've got some trouble. We all know that. And so I just love the fact that Rotary is helping to make Philadelphia streets safer.
So they're coming back as these peace mediators.
Yeah. And let me also say that we're not political. That's one of the other myths I wanted to dispel. You can be any party at all. You know, really, it's just about your humanness, our humanness, and our shared experience, and our you know, caring about each other. This is not a political or a religious organization.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Important nowadays to stress mm-hmm. that.
It is, yeah.
And it's not just a bunch of stodgy old guys wearing neckties.
With secret handshakes.
With secret handshakes and smoking cigars and meeting once in a while over a steak and a martini.
When I joined Rotary, if you came in without a tie, they kind of gave you side glances. Now if you come in with a tie on there, they think you have a job interview.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's very casual. And can we also say how much fun it is? You know, there are these lunch meetings that I tend to go to, but I will say that I've met some of my dearest friends through Rotary, and I have probably the heartiest laughs of my life have been either at Rotary meetings or at these, you know, wonderful Saturday days when we're working with Habitat for Humanity or we're cleaning up one of the local parks. I mean, these are good people with really positive experiences that fill me up. I love it.
What is the People of Action campaign?
Well, this is a media campaign. It's an effort for Rotary to try to deal with this identity crisis that we mentioned earlier. We have there were some focus groups done and some advertising professionals getting together with Rotary organization to figure out what's the most concise way to let people know what Rotary is. And they figured out that People of Action, that's three words that indicate really what Rotary is all about. No matter where you are in the world, everybody's doing something to make a difference. So what that means is that if you're traveling through an airport, you might see the big People of Action signs. In the local newspapers, you'll be seeing some ads. It's a campaign. We're just trying to make that our new image, our branding, if you will.
Instead of having a picture in the local newspaper of someone being handed a check, right? How boring. Last year, the International President's goal was for a tree to be planted for each member of Rotary. So that'd be 1.2 million trees worldwide. In our district, we did 3,300 trees, and one of my favorite pictures from there was the group gathered in King of Prussia at the park, actually planting the trees, getting their hands dirty, yeah. You know, showing these are people doing something. We're not just handing a check and smiling and then going back to work.
How many people are in the Philadelphia, the Delaware Valley, in this area here? You got any ideas how many
members you have? We look at, you know, our district.
How many chapters are there in this area?
Well, there's 50 in our district, which is Philadelphia and the surrounding suburbs. South Jersey, there's, I believe, 75 or 80. Listeners in Maryland, there's another 50 or 60 there. So you're talking a lot of club variations. I would think that you're looking at probably in the area of 5,000 or 6,000 members.
Mm-hmm. And we're always looking for new members. That's important to note that we have had members for many years because we've been in existence, you know, in my case, over 100 years, our club in Center City. So we lose members at the older age of spectrum. And so with that, we're always welcoming new people, you know, to the one end of the funnel. And that's why we doesn't matter income levels. Nothing is no like serious application process other than we just want to know that you're somebody who cares about people who would like to do good things.
You're a person of action.
We are people of action. Yeah, I'm proud
of
it.
Of course, all of that Rotary. Rush, you said something about the e-clubs. And I'm going to guess that, you know, if you're getting new members, an e-club would be an awfully easy way to participate. Is that true?
Absolutely. But it's a matter of what's right for you. Right. So if a person says, I want to give back, I want to become involved, I want to know what's going on in my community, perfect application. The negative, I think it's fair to give both sides. I want that interpersonal contact. I sit in front of a computer screen all day, so I don't want that from my Rotary experience. But others that are out and about all day, that may be something they can do 10 o'clock at night. They can sit down and review a program. And feel that that's what fits their life.
They can put their input in, et cetera.
It's all about flexibility. That was the biggest problem, I think, in Rotary over the years, being inflexible. Inflexible on where you met, when you met, how you dressed, who could be admitted. Now those barriers have been eliminated.
And it's from, again, all ages.
All ages.
All ages are our members now.
Now, we do have a membership dues structure that mm-hmm. we should mention. It doesn't necessarily have to cost a lot to be a part of this fabulous organization. Some of our clubs, which meet for breakfast, it's bagel and cream cheese and orange juice, mm-hmm. and those are, you know, that's the lower-priced club. Some clubs have a real nice dinner of spread, and for that, you're paying for the venue and the nice hot meal. So again, encouraging everybody to just check out Rotary.org, go to a club in your neighborhood. If there's one not right exactly where you live, there's one, you know, within 2 miles, I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm. Where would we see, what's the end results? What's, name me a favorite project or something, each of you, in our remaining minutes here. Where would I see Rotary?
Wow. So many. That's actually a loaded question. The tree planting comes to mind just on a personal note because I'm always learning through Rotary. I have the worst brown thumb, as you could see. That day we planted trees and the experts from the Horticulture Society showed us how to do it. I then went home and I planted a little sapling, which actually grew into a beautiful tree. And I'm like so proud of that, and I have Rotary to thank.
Because you knew how to plant it properly.
Yeah, and now I feel like there's hope for me. But as for other issues, like human trafficking is something that I never really knew much about until through Rotary I went and learned, and I heard lectures on it, and it broke my heart, and now I'm motivated to try to learn more about it and see ways that Rotary could help with, you know, these poor victims of human trafficking. So my eyes are always opening, and I think that we're all gaining insight into,
we're
like,
the aware of something
of the
that
world.
Was going on right in front of our nose. Yeah, it's just like the opioid crisis.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't deal with that personally, it's easy to look past these things. But between that and the human trafficking, now we're made aware. Now, maybe it's one person that you could see in a very strange situation. You say, that young girl, just something doesn't look right. Say something.
Mm-hmm. And to use the opiate crisis as an example of something that, you know, Rotarians can do is, it's, you know, the opiate crisis is affecting every single community in this nation, specifically hard in Montgomery County, where my club is based out of. We did a panel where we brought experts in to educate the community on the crisis, and we were giving out Narcan, which is a drug that, you know, if somebody were to overdose, you can give out that, you can administer that Narcan, and it could save a life. You know, so, and also this past meeting, we touched upon schools in Haiti that we were, you know, that we had a guest speaker in. We had a discussion about a project called Smiles for Guatemala, where we're doing cleft work palette in Guatemala, and backpacks, creating or making backpacks for local school children. I mean, I don't necessarily have a specific project, but there's many, many projects that you can get involved with in every, you know, every single, I guess, subject or cause that you can imagine.
So it's enriching and
yes,
it is fun.
Join us. I hope people will, their interest will be sparked, and we'll get some phone calls. Just check us out. We'd love to just welcome anybody to try out a meeting and see how it feels and seems to you. We love it, but it's just the three of us here. But hopefully your listeners will give Rotary a chance.
Russ, last words.
Well, I would say my proudest moment will be when we finally eradicate polio. And as Lisa said, it's not particularly relevant to the 20-somethings that have never experienced it. They may think it's something from their grandparents. But we're so close to having it eradicated. The Gates Foundation has matched so much money to us, billions of dollars. So when we can declare the world polio-free, working with the World Health Organization, the CDC, we'll know, hey, we were part of that.
Yeah.
And we don't always get the credit, and sometimes Rotarians get cranky that they didn't get credit. But it isn't about the credit. It's about being only the second disease to be wiped off the face of the planet.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, Rotary.org. Find the location nearest to you. Learn more about the programming that they offer and how you can become a member and where to find a chapter that fits you. And my guests today have been Russ DeFuria, Matt Bright, Stein, and Lisa Leonard. Thank you all for coming in.
Thanks for having
us,
Laura.
Great being
Thanks
here.
For all you do as Rotarians. Again, Rotary.org, the place to go. I'm Laura Lewis, and this has been our Delaware Valley.